You get an update?
It's not good. It's not good at all. It's the worst case scenario.
What are you going to do?
I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to do. It's a full Achilles tear. They don't even know if he's going to be ready week one next season.
Oh, my God. What are you going to do?
I don't know. I don't have the running back depth to overcome this. What am I going to do? I don't know.
You can make a trade.
For what? My kicker? My roster is depleted.
What about your waiver wire?
No. It's over.
Welcome to the Dad Bod Pod. I'm your host, Jamie Schleicher, bringing you the only podcast talking about our fantasy football league. I don't know why more people aren't talking about it, but we are. And with me today is my trusty tri-host, back for a second year as our unpaid intern, the Rev Seth Whispleway. Seth, welcome back to the pod.
Jamie, it is such a gift to be back with you, back in the league. To all our loyal listeners, I'll apologize for the slight delay in putting out the inaugural episode for the 2023 season. Jamie and I and a few other nameless league members were groupies on Taylor Swift's Eras Tour this summer, and so we just got back home, but right now, this is all I need, and I am Knuff.
And I appreciate you falling on the sword on that one, because the delay is 100% my fault and my East Coast tours. But one of those tours took me to Charlottesville, Virginia.
Yes.
And
birthplace.
My birthplace?
Of the league.
Of the league. There we go. I was like, I was not born there.
Me neither.
But our league was. And it was fun to crash Steven's 40th birthday party.
Yeah. He kind of crashed it himself. Like, I just want to pause and say that was pretty huge. Not just any birthday. Like, the upper 30s are all kind of the same as someone in his early 40s. It's all kind of whatever. But that was the big 4-0. And he's like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to have a bunch of random guys over to stare at our computers for 3 hours with my family around. Huge.
So huge. So huge that I immediately booked a ticket from Denver, Colorado to make it there. You know, if the Russian Roomba is going to invite me into his home, I feel like I had to take him up on that.
I know. Makes me feel like I kind of didn't live up to the possibilities of friendship and fellowship and drafting by not getting that ticket. Maybe instead of podcasting with every member of the league this year, you'll get a chance to basically be in person with every member of the league this year. That'll be the hot take.
Last year, we had a couple of bold predictions. pretty much only Brian's came true. And he was uncannily accurate in all of his predictions. But we had some, like, we're going to have a nameless wife on the pod. We're going to pod every week. We're going to have every member of the league on the pod. So
I think these are valuable goals, and I think we should strive for them. And I, now that you mention it, we should definitely get Brian back sooner than later to see what his hot takes are for this year, to see if they come true, because he called it. He called winning he said the new guy, yep, a new guy would win, and that it was going to be him, and then it was him and other Eric. And now we're up to 12 members, which technically we have the weeks. So y'all are on notice.
Yeah, we got to get some more bold takes out there. I like the one that you threw out there. I'm going to see every person in the league in person by hell or high water.
So you got to knock out Oregon, Arizona, Texas, and Tennessee still. And then there's a couple of Charlottesville guys who didn't make it to the birthday bash.
Right.
Speaking of Tennessee, I know he wasn't there in person with the rest of the group, but our commissioner, Zach, you can edit this out, but our commissioner teed off this random, beautiful panoply of men all over the country gathering for our silly, addictive game that fosters camaraderie with a speech, an opening salvo, like pause the draft to basically deliver a why we do this sermon. I'm going to call it a sermon.
It was a mini sermon.
I seriously, I was getting misty. Someone was cutting onions near me, and I said as much. You know, a couple people said, like, dang, Zach, that was like, oh, we should have recorded that. And I said, I was verklempt. And, you know, I think some people laughed, but I wasn't joking. I was like, this league has meant a lot to me, especially over the past few years, which have been extremely volatile for me personally and professionally. And his speech wasn't about that. And I'm in such a different place, knock on wood, thanks to somewhat the passage of time and some really good therapy and new job and so on. But Zach's speech just hit and almost doesn't make me mind as much that he is just obliterating us so far 2 weeks into the season. You can edit that out, Zach.
We'll see if he does. I was with the plebeians in Steven's house in Charlottesville, and it like took a minute to realize that he wasn't just like teeing up the draft, but he was actually saying something. And, you know, 30 seconds into it, it was like, oh, I need to listen to this. And like you said, just kind of like laid it down. This is why we play the game. This is why we're here. This is why we pod. And it was a heartfelt moment.
Yeah. Guys were bowing their heads and closing their eyes where you were.
Yeah. Eventually we got there. I think Ryan was shotgunning a beer at the time.
Oh, gravy seals. Yeah, I wish I could remember specifically what was said, but it got at the root of it. And that was special. There was a bit of panic at the beginning because up until a minute before, we were unclear if one new member, Jesse, Matt's brother, was in the draft live, and we do not draft with auto drafters. That's just not done. And then, you know, it's unclear. Does he know how to turn on the Yahoo? Does he know to turn on Zoom? Does he know how to turn on the, actually, we can get to this later in the episode. Does he know how to use the Yahoo draft feature and trade feature?
There's some competing thoughts out there.
Yeah. People are saying, but, you know, the commissioner has powers we don't even know and probably don't even want to know what he's capable of. But he paused it, and it was beautiful.
Which is just another, for our time loyal listeners, the Patreon subscribers. No, we typically kick things off with an episode with the commissioner, who comes and does a state of the state, talks about the vision for the upcoming year.
Right.
You know, typically catch up on, like, has he had a kid in the off season? Like, what's going on there? How's the family doing? But we didn't do that.
I think he's had two kids in this past off season.
I don't know. We didn't have the episode. Gotta right. Talk to him.
So that's pre-draft. Trash talks a little bit, throws a little shade at maybe the previous year. Gets us all kind of grinding our teeth for the draft. then we have a draft analysis episode, and
we skipped that as well. And then we mixed week one of the season. Now we're on week two of the season, and we're just kind of smush it all together. But maybe we can get Zach on for the next episode, do the commissioner episode,
yeah,
the right way,
right?
And give
this episode's going to be like what Nathaniel Hackett would call the gold zone. It's just going to be everything. And I think it was as recently as a couple years ago, we might have only had the commissioner in the draft episode. So I think we're in good shape.
There was a season of four episodes. Bold take number two. I think we're going to smash that this season.
Yeah.
Over under of 4.5. I'm taking the over.
Yeah. We won't talk about that. Well, let's spend a little time on the draft. I think what we want to do, since we're between week two and three now, there's been a lot of hot and heavy action, and it kind of gives us a chance to pull some observations about the draft through the keyhole of week one and two performance and kind of smush it all together. But I think it's going to be kind of juicy. We mentioned Jesse. Should we start there?
Let's start there.
New member.
We had two this year.
Right.
Ten returning members from last year.
All 10.
Bumped it back up to 12.
Boom. Excited about John and Jesse. John made a pseudo guest appearance in the background of our Man on the Street segment in Tucson last year. Fun guy. Comes highly regarded. And I'm not saying Jesse doesn't, but he is the blood relative of a longtime league member. And there were initial questions of, like, when you have blood relatives, is the risk of collusion go up? And I think I'm not speaking out of turn when I say the draft dispelled any notions of collusion. Because, well, where to start? Jesse might have been partying. He said he likes that. He came in strong on video for a minute, grabbed the top two, not just wide receivers off the board, but the top two players. Video went off and all chaos broke loose. Chaos we didn't even quite know what to do with. Help us help you.
Yeah, comes out the gate. Grabs Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson, and then it's his first opportunity to nominate a player. And I believe it's Khalif Raymond.
Preston Williams.
Preston Williams.
For those keeping score at home, is not a member of
an
NFL team. Roster or practice squad currently.
Didn't even make the practice squad, which has been expanded in recent years.
Nominated him for a buck and got him for a buck. And this happened a few times.
Came back with Khalif Raymond, I'm sure, with his next nomination.
Yeah. And maybe even Tom Brady in there. Before, at the time the dust settled, Jesse also had two kickers. Which is two more than his brother had. And also, though, by the time the dust settled, I looked at his lineup because we were all just kind of agog to the point where I think people were yelling in the Zoom, Jesse, are you there? What are you doing? Like,
blink twice if you've been kidnapped.
Yeah, exactly. And I looked at his roster the following day, and aside from those unique choices, he technically had a viable starting lineup. Right now he is 1-1, and something switched. Like, I've looked at his waiver action. He clearly knows what he's doing. He's played before or studied, or
he's clearly a McNichol.
Yeah, collusion going on, but he fixed his bench as best as possible. Didn't get Puka or Kieran, but he's 1-1. He had a viable starting lineup from the get. So welcome to the league, Jesse. And for what it's worth, the other new guy is 0-2. But he has a great looking team as well. Everyone can still make the playoffs. Did you have another comment on our robust 12-person league?
It did change draft strategy.
Yes.
Of last year with 10 teams, you need more studs because everybody's going to have an all-star lineup out there. So right. If you don't have those guys that can land in the top three at their position, you're putting yourself in a bad position.
Yeah, with you're going to end up with one victory.
It was an adjustment back to, what did these teams look like? How should I be drafting? How hard do I go? And yeah, some people like Jesse went really hard. Justin Jefferson, Jamar Chase, Sean and Eric, who Eric had a magazine from Wegmans. I don't think he actually looked at it, but he did bring it into the room as what I assume is his only pre-draft research.
And by pre-draft, was he going to like flip through the whole thing in 5 minutes?
I think that was the plan.
Did he also scoop up a National Enquirer when he was at the checkout line?
I saw a copy of the New Yorker, Architectural Digest, and this ESPN magazine.
Wow. They say, you know, we're throwing around some slander already, but Eric was last year's runner-up, and if we've learned anything in fantasy football, this is all just fodder for GroupMe trash talk, because what do any of us know? What does
he came out hot too. Pat Mahomes, Christian McCaffrey, you know,
he told me he didn't expect to get Mahomes. That was like, I think his second big, and he's like, oh, you know, like whatever strategy he had. I don't know if that was a bidding war with Travis or somebody else. So, I benefited from.
He went for a pretty reasonable price. So I could see that one where he was a little surprised at the end. But then he gets Davante Adams to anchor his wide receiver core.
Sure.
So he definitely came out with those heavy hitters at the front. And then Sean did the same as well. Trying to see who's on his team.
I think that's been the case the past couple of years. Sean goes out strong, gets who he wants, and then sits on like $15 while we all play the middle rounds, kind of, and then picks up whoever he wants for a buck when we're all done. You know what I'd love to focus on? Speaking of, like I just said, none of us know anything, you know. Yahoo's projecting. Eric's put up a good chunk of points, even though he's 0-2. And so, yeah, we do this trash talking, but what do we know? I mean, I still think there's some skill this game. You got to pay attention. We are all, like, forcing each other to pay attention to pick up this, but it's all kind of a calculated gamble. You know who knows something the rest of us don't? At draft night, Michael Binns. Because he had a strategy. Not once, not twice, at least three times, going in all in comparatively on guys who were guaranteed not to play for at least the first 4 weeks. I'm talking about Cooper Kupp, Jameson Williams, and Jonathan Taylor. Now, yeah, he's also got Jamal Williams, who's going to miss a chunk of time, but that's a different thing. So,
and he also drafted Travis Kelce.
Yes.
We were not aware was injured at the time, but then next day hyperextended his knee and missed.
He hyperextended it on Tuesday before draft day. I'm almost positive.
Yeah, that was a point of conversation.
Yeah. And he still went in the 50s and everyone was like, oh my gosh, is he going to miss week? So yeah, four blue trip, two until draft night would have been first rounders. Oh, Jonathan Taylor, too. Like, so three. So he's technically got TE1 overall, WR 123 overall, RB123 overall. This is the summer before like the draft. He's got them all. He paid top dollar for Kelce. I don't remember the rest. And then also Jameson Williams, who is part of the Lions hype machine, you know, has been for a couple of years and then now I think suspended for gambling. So on paper, holy cow, if you were drafting in July, you'd be like, who let him get all those? In September of 2023, that's almost your whole bench. And there's no flex on that. So do you think, I mean, he's playing the long game. It could pay off wonderfully, but like Cooper Kupp, there's no guarantees. Jonathan Taylor, there's no guarantees. It's a big boom bust strategy. And Benz is sitting at 0-2 right now, though he put up a ton of points against Travis, who put up more this past week. So that's a whole intro to say, what do you think? I think I'm extra fascinated by this now that there have been some insane other season-ending injuries to Dobbins, Rodgers, Chubb, unfortunately, in the first couple weeks. So it's like, oh, these things happen. But I feel like I stock my bench with just insurance policies that I'm reluctant to drop. Because I'm like, oh, next week he could be the – and I don't want anyone to get injured. I don't want anyone to get injured, but I'm like, oh, but if so-and-so goes down, boy, I would hate to have dropped this guy and then have to bid $80 to get him back or whatever. And that was his strategy.
And it's a very interesting one. I was kind of in the boat of, I want one of these guys, somebody that I can stash on IR and come back and maybe be first, second, third round value that I get as like a boost in week five.
Right. It worked great for me last year with DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah.
I think I had to sit on him for like 6, 7, 8 games, but he did awesome for me down the stretch.
So if you're getting a little bit of an injury discount, you throw him on the IR, you pick somebody up off waivers. I like that idea of it. Like you said, doubling, tripling, quadrupling down on it is what makes this so interesting. And yeah, he's got a plucky team right now.
That's right.
You know, he's got James Conner, went off this week. Zach Moss, 18 points this week. Nico Collins, what did Nico put up?
What does any Texan put up? Not only that, Benz is
24 points this week.
Wow. Benz is also stashing an extra defense too on top of all this.
So if he can come out of this 1-3, 2-2, and then these guys come back week 5, week 6, and just create a monster.
It's very scary.
Watch out.
For the rest of us.
The scary side is like, okay, what if they don't come back week 5? And you're just holding on to these guys and they don't come back. And then when they do come back, it takes them a while to ramp up.
Right.
And then by the time you actually get this monster roster, you're too far behind.
Right. Like, yeah, you could be 1-4, 0-5. And I feel like, was it Zach who had like a crazy, I mean, cause fantasy football's fickle. I mean, and real world football's fickle. You can't just bank on going 9-5 overall after that or something, but
yeah,
you can. We've had in our league people lose 13 in a row and win 12 in a row before. I think it's a smart strategy. I mean, you just kind of got to have that extra prayer each week that one of your, like Ramondre Stevens, like you've only got your starters essentially.
And he's been in the matchup both weeks.
Mm-hmm.
He's got 183 points for, 232 scored against, but he's had a shot to win both of these weeks.
Yeah.
So, you know, if he can get a couple here, it's going to put him in position to be really scary when his team gets healthy. Yeah. And I don't play him until week 11. So he will be 100% healthy at that point in time, which is all I'm worried about.
Right on. Yeah, I mean, back to, there was a lot of kind of joking about the plans. I mean, we all, a lot of us, I think, come into draft night with a plan. Travis was especially vocal about, I forget exactly what his plan was. He just had his max price he was going to bid on a ton of players.
Yeah, I think it was like positional allocation.
That's right.
Of like, this is how much I want to spend at each of these.
Yeah, and I kind of did that. I had a few players I was non-negotiably going to get, and they were Nick Chubb, Amon-Ra St. Brown, and Darren Waller. I accidentally got Tony Pollard while trying to boost his price because I was waiting for Chubb, and now Chubb, very unfortunately, is lost for the season. I just traded Amon-Ra St. Brown, which we might come back to. And you pushed Darren Waller past where I think I was comfortably able to go. So plans are, and I know this every year. I'll only have one mock draft that turns out the way I want it to. And I still come in being like, this is who I'm going to get. Just play it right and do it right. And these funny things happen.
Yeah, I'm always trying to find pockets of value in the draft. I don't think I did a great job of that this year. I came out of it wishing that I had spent a little bit more on some of these guys and gotten a little bit of a stronger starting roster. But yeah, I ended up with like Stephon Diggs and Keenan Allen and guys that I would not have guessed that I would have drafted going into the night.
Right.
But felt decent about the price that I got them at and how they fit my team.
Yeah, exactly. Two WR1s on pass happy teams. Can't beat it. I think I came out strong overall, but I'm learning that some people who were hyped are not doing as well as they coulda, shoulda. So we'll see. Man, draft night is one of the highlights of the year. And then every week is, let's come back to Zach a bit. We touched on this. So, I mean, I think we talked about the expansive spirit with which he blessed the season and all he does for us as commissioner and editor. But the man, like, went 1-13 last year, and it wasn't even close. Like, I do that thing as the season progresses, like, here's who can still make the playoffs, and it just wasn't even a thing. And right now, he's doubled his win total from last year with scores that would make you – would be big in an 8-person league or a 10-person league, just dominating. He's gotten to rename one team. There was a little bit of confusion about whether he got to rename another. Kind of moving into season analysis from draft. Can he, will he sustain this? Cause everyone has big boom weeks where you're like, oh man, I went off this week. And like, we're all like, oh, I would have won if I hadn't played Jamie this week or whatever it is. He's like, no one's close. Like, he scored more this past week than John has scored in 2 weeks total.
Yeah, he's averaging 152 points a week right now. The second place team isn't even close to that.
Yeah, half the league isn't averaging 100 points a game, and he's averaging, like, it looks like he's played 3 weeks already.
Yeah, it's funny. You look at his roster, like, you see some of these guys, like Tyreek Hill, okay, yeah, he's a boom guy. Austin Eckler, he can go off.
And TJ Hockenson was like, but there were some people who were kind of fading him, but, and yeah, Joe Mixon, there was like some, you know, is he going to come back full? Wasn't there some uncertainty there? But that's about it.
Yeah, you look at these guys that are putting up huge points for him, like Terry McLaurin, Christian Kirk, Raheem Mostert,
Kirk Cousins.
Kirk Cousins, the Kirk Hawk stack going off against the Eagles was
I think there was a joke about this draft night. Like, he got Kirk for like a buck at the end. He's like, oh, I could show you the text messages. Zach was editing me or texting me. You can edit this out. was texting me during the draft. Cause I was like, I think I said, collusion? Like, I got Justin Fields the same way I got Pollard. I was just trying to boost the price. And then I wanted to get Herbert or Goff. And I accidentally, quote unquote, got Fields for like $9. And I think I said like, oh, I didn't want him though. You know, it's fine. Like, he's got the Konami code thing and whatever. And like, he's QB6 at the time. Obviously he hasn't lived up to that yet at all. And so Zach was like, oh, I'll trade you. You know, like, and I was like, well, what quarterback? He was like, tell me which quarterback to draft and everything. And I'm just remembering this now. Like, and I ended up like just the night got late and not responding. I was like, oh, we'll see how it goes or whatever. He gets Kirk Cousins, and Kirk Cousins is like the number one fantasy scorer.
Yeah.
Like, I would have to trade him Justin Fields and like
plus.
To get Kirk Cousins. So that's kind of a week one and two recap pulled through the keyhole of the draft. Zach, if you're listening, it feels weird to trade Justin Fields for Kirk Cousins straight up, but maybe.
Think about it.
I don't know. He's got Brock Purdy there. Dang. Oh, but yeah, his team on paper doesn't look like.
It doesn't look like a juggernaut.
It doesn't look like Ben's team could look, or like who else? Yeah, John Robbins. I don't know if we have anyone who looks totally like a juggernaut, but that might just be the parody of 12 teams and needing some more weeks to see who's going to really break out this season. But the points are ridiculous, and maybe it's because of some of that interchangeability with his bench. I'm just curious to see. He's like, oh, maybe I'll start Sky Moore this week and then watch Sky Moore go off for like 30.
Yeah, 6-yard touchdown. And
exactly.
Because, I mean, the thing is, he didn't even have Eckler week two.
Yeah.
He got hurt, didn't play. Doesn't matter. Still scores 180 points.
Ridiculous. Well, Zach, bully for you. I think we all fear you. And I just don't think it can last because there's no way.
There's no way.
And some of that is definitely self-interest.
But it feels really reminiscent to me of living here 30 minutes from Boulder. My boy Coach Prime has taken over the college football world.
I know, right?
They won one game last year. They've come out. They've won three.
Yeah,
to start.
In really dramatic fashion, too.
And he's playing everything like a master pianist right now. Making beautiful music, just winning games, making it happen. And Zach has a similar story, you know?
Yeah.
Didn't win more than one or two games last year. And here he is, talk of the pod.
Neon Dion would be a good team name.
That's a good team name.
Or since he's the commissioner, it could be like, as the kids say, the poner. Like, he's pone. Am I saying that right? Like,
pone the noobs.
He's just owning us. Yeah. I don't know if that works. At the moment, it doesn't look like anyone's getting going to rename him, though.
Let's talk about, he did rename Steven week one.
I know Steven was in last place, which is not a place we're accustomed to seeing him. I mean, he already jumped up to seventh, and at the moment it looks like he's keeping his name and his bizarre off-brand Slavic Barbie avatar. But because the joke was that whatever the secret app is that he uses was like of Russian provenance. Mm-hmm. And are you kind of like the superstitious type? Like, we joked about it, but like, is Steven going to keep Russian Rumo? Because we were thinking Dumb Luck may have been a rename with the poop avatar, because he had that guy with like the Dookie last name once. I think that's where it came from. Sort of, actually, Criminal Negligence is a rename I made of you when I think I thrashed you like 2 years ago. And
Just rolled with it.
Eric's knee team. Is this all superstition on y'all's part? Like keeping the slander done upon you as like, you know, because you could rename your team now. Steven could rename his team now. Brian barely got to keep his team name by a vote because there was uncertainty when you get 100 even, if that counts. But
yeah, so the rule as it's written is if you score less than 100 and if your opponent beats you by more than 50,
yeah,
they have the right to rename your team and give you an avatar.
Right. It's basically the only punishment we have in this league anymore.
Which is great. I love it. It's low stakes, but it's fun. People get into it.
Yeah, totally.
Zach, as we mentioned, goes off 170 points. Brian, our gravy seal, Big D, league champ, trying to defend his crown, scores 100.00.
Yeah.
And like we're just watching this game. He needed Njoku to score whatever he scored exactly to save himself from the rename. After talking so much trash that he has now gone on the record and said he's not slandering anyone except Matt McNichol. Which, once again, I love that he makes that exception for Matt.
Well, they're nemeses.
Which the sport needs.
That's right.
It really does.
That's right. Well, year two, I don't know if Brian's accustomed to being as low as fifth place. Though if you added Matt's waiver wire dollars to Brian's, you'd have 100 even.
That is true.
And spoiler alert, one of those guys has $98.
We'll see if you can figure that one out.
That's right. I will say this, though. Matt picked up the right pieces. I think the waiver is going to feel thin from this point out. I mean, Trav somehow went. If it was me and I had a spot on my bench, there were some other backup running backs I would have gotten. But Trav Monday morning got Jerome Ford. No one wanted to see Nick Chubb get hurt as bad as he did. But holy cow, this is the kind of thing. This is like Odell Beckham's rookie season kind of pickup. Like you just got an RB1 for free who has a great pedigree, and man, it seems like the Browns are going to try to bring in Kareem Hunt, maybe Cam Akers. Ironically, I think Trav dropped Cam to get Jerome Ford, but just wild.
That would be funny if he ends up in Cleveland. And
yeah. Again, though, I don't know what else to recap so much as a season, because like it's way too early. Like I said, Yahoo, based on points projections, says Eric, who's 0-2 now, is still gonna finish first at 11-3. So that's wild. And it says I'm gonna finish 6-8. You bastards. says you're gonna finish second at 11-3.
We'll take it.
Yeah. I don't know. When do we have to trash talk each other as nemesis? Anyway, I don't know. I don't know what else you might want to talk about weeks 1 and 2. You know, we saw the usual patterns. Week 2, there was a lot of bench points. Maybe some, I didn't look to see what teams could have won that didn't, but like we've all been there, like yada, yada, yada. I think we need a few more weeks to see the real bust. Like even like the draft analysis, I'm not ready to call Justin Fields a bust yet from me, or Jamar Chase is certainly not a bust for Jesse, or I don't know. It's too early to say any of these things. I just want to win every week.
I I think one of the things I want to talk about is this year's new Sean, which is, it's still Sean.
Who's new Sean?
New Sean is still Sean. Finding the most heartbreaking ways to lose.
Oh my God.
He's been manifesting losses in the group me. He's been calling his shots.
Yeah. It's starting to be like, are you willing the past into the present? Like, kind of like Job in the Bible, like, if you know, are things like, why is this happening to me? You start to just be like, well, I mean, I get this. It's almost like a trauma response. Like, you get hypervigilant, like, and just because things are going fine, well, that means especially some, you know, a ladder is going to fall on you. And it's actually happened. Went in Monday night, tied with Matt. Didn't need much, needed a basic quarterback output, was within like 0.2 or 0.02 with like 5 minutes in the fourth quarter, and his quarterback, Deshaun Watson, fumbled, didn't put up any more meaningful points, and ended up losing by two. I mean, that's worse than I think your opponent getting like a miracle touchdown on Monday night, I think.
Yeah, and the insult to injury is that he also had the Cleveland defense. So as Deshaun was,
that's right,
was turning the ball over for these touchdowns, he was losing the Deshaun points and the Cleveland defense points.
Yeah, that's right. The Cleveland defense was at like 10 or 12 points going into like the fourth quarter, I think finished at 8. So there's also like the two.
Yeah, I think he was up like 3 points at one point.
Yeah, exactly.
And then it just swung in a devastating fashion.
It's just brutal. I mean, and in some ways, Eric at the moment is new Sean in that he scored a ton of points, but had more points hung on him. I don't know, Sean, buddy, just keep putting that lineup out there, because on paper, I think he has as much of a juggernaut as anybody, if we can even use that word. Yeah, I'm not just trying to blow sunshine up your ass. Just it's got to pay off at some point. No empty platitudes here. We really mean it.
Yeah, I love parts of his team. And then he's also had some of that rough injury luck with Aaron Rodgers, which we need to talk about this injury a little bit more.
Holy cow.
But going to Zach Wilson makes his Garrett Wilson investment just that much more dicey. He ended up benching him in week two, which is another thing that swung that matchup, because Garrett broke loose for a long touchdown against the Cowboys and their vaunted defense.
Right.
But if he had started him, Garrett Wilson actually scored more points than both of his wide receivers and his flex. So would have had the cushion to pull this one out.
That's the worst. The worst. I mean, the Jets hype train, even before Hard Knocks, which was highly entertaining. I mean, obviously the way they shot and presented Hard Knocks this year was like they had Rodgers on a golden pedestal. But like, you know, the hype around the Jets was like, we've got the pieces on paper. And there was plenty of articles that were like, wait a minute. Number one, it's the Jets. Number two, these pieces haven't experienced a culture of winning. That's what Aaron Rodgers bringing in. Like, and that first game, I was as excited to watch as anybody else. I was getting like, you know, my drink and my snacks during that first drive. I like sat down and he was already being carted off. Like,
yeah,
you know, I had only caught maybe two dropbacks out of the corner of my eye, and just unbelievable. And now he says, and I mean, who's surprised? Like, there were all these jokes about, like, you know, he's just gonna float in a, you know, sensory deprivation tank instead of getting surgery, blah blah blah. But it turns out he did get some new or innovative newer surgery as a 39-year-old man that says, like, The hope is to be back for the playoffs. And I was like, bro, who's making the playoffs?
with Zach Wilson? I mean, the thought is the defense carries them.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, he doesn't have, you know, that Packers team that he was with. This is the Jets. Yeah. They have a way, if anything can go wrong, will go wrong.
That's right.
But and yeah, we'll see if this innovative surgery or treatment, whatever it is, works out with him. I know, yeah. Aaron Rodgers has also always had an interesting thoughts around pharmacology. I don't know. Did you see his quote on Pat McAfee?
I don't know if I did. Is this about his ayahuasca ceremonies or whatever? Like, is this what he's self-medicating on?
No, this is about the healing power of dolphin mating sounds.
Oh my God.
Have you heard that these sounds can be healing to the human body?
No. Is this what Aaron has heard?
This is what Aaron has heard. It's out there. And the hilarious thing about him, like, love Aaron Rodgers, hate Aaron Rodgers. You have to admit he's entertaining. And this is one of the things that, like, he said that, like, I can totally see him being completely joking or 100% serious. And I have no idea which one.
Yeah. I mean, there was that like 10 minute monologue he gave on seeing a UFO, all to explain why he had his old college buddy come down on the field and how he like talked to Jets security. Like, no, this guy should come. He's like a real Jersey guy. And we're like, okay, just a Hard Knocks moment. He's like, yeah, what's up, bro? What's up, bro? And he's like, saw a UFO with this guy. And everyone's like, haha, what? And then they cut to like the sit down interview. And he just talks for 10 minutes about this time in New Jersey. He saw a UFO and seemed dead serious. Healing yeah. sounds. I mean, I love whales not as much as the next guy, more than the next guy.
Mm-hmm.
For the Patreon subscribers who can see the video feed alone, just behind me, there's a whale mobile and a Native American print. I've got a few tattoos, and that's not even all of it in this room. I have not heard this, let alone.
You've never heard about this?
I'll eat my hat if, as the kids say, if he comes back at all. Like, I read that Dan Marino is like the only other high-profile quarterback who experienced this, but he was 32 years old, like more in his prime, and he ended up coming back for several more years. But man, and Zach Wilson, I mean, Saleh, the coach, has really doubled down on him being their guy. Colin Kaepernick's people reached out to the Jets, apparently. Man's been keeping himself in shape. I don't know. I think this is all about Sean's team, which is to say, good luck to everybody. You can still make the playoffs, unless you're the Jets. Yeah, Aaron Rodgers, yeah. Highly entertaining. You know, if you look at it just kind of stone cold sober, it seems like he believes in a lot of poppycock, but the dude is making $37 million to tell Zach Wilson not to throw interceptions right now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not even successful.
I mean, going against the Cowboys defense, someone was going to be throwing the interceptions. Someone was going to be sacked by Micah Parsons. That's a rough game. Hazard is your first start after this catastrophic injury.
Yeah. Were the Packers supposed to play the Jets this year?
Oh, that's a good question.
I'm checking. No. Because usually they like to do that silliness sometimes with the NFL schedules, like we had some of those games, but nope.
Yes, set up the revenge game.
Yeah, that would have been wild. I guess they definitely will next year if Rodgers comes back. Well, if Aaron gets his way, maybe the Packers and Jets will meet in the Super Bowl.
hard to see that happening, but never say never.
It's pretty hard. I think we can have a pretty lukewarm take that that's not going to be the case. Though right now, I know the Chiefs are probably going to like, yeah, they're going through this little thing they do, and then they're going to win like 15 straight. Yeah, we'll see. It's been a very entertaining regular season and fantasy season so far, and I'm grateful for that. There have been, how many trades did we have in the league last year?
I feel like the proliferation of trades started last year, that we had a decent amount. I'm going to throw more. Somewhere in like the 8 to 12 range, maybe even 15. Right. But I would guess 8 to 12 is what we had last year.
Yeah, they were more mid-round. Did we have blockbuster trades last year? You and I did a big one 2 years ago where I think I sent you Saquon right before he got injured.
Oh, Saquon, can you see?
And it's
my
funny
infamous
because, like,
zero RB year. Mm. My accidental zero RB year.
I'm always open to trading. I send a chunk of offers out there that I think are good that usually get rejected. I reject a bunch of offers. But there's been two trades so far, and I did one of the blockbusters, I guess you could say.
We'll say it. We're the ones on the pod.
People are saying. And I feel good about it. It's weird because it's like I have A.J. Brown now who's shown nothing really so far, and I had him last year, and he was really good for me. You know, I know John was trying to probably diversify his two-stud Eagles thing. You don't want to be loaded up like that, so I get that. And he had been offering me Devontae. I think it's okay to say at this point. and I've been sending him offers. So this offer that I accepted was a counter offer from him. And at first I was like, pshaw, I'm not getting rid of my top wide receiver. But I don't know. I like Jahmyr Gibbs. I think, you know, Aaron Jones did awesome for me week one, but he tweaked his hammy. Hammies make me nervous. I hope he does good. I hope they do good for, I don't, you know, wish bad on him, but I also hope my side of the trade blows up and I just had a good feeling about it. That's all I can say. And I think Deontay, even though he's on IR, is one of those guys. There was one other trade for a kicker.
Kicker trade.
Do we want to talk any more about my trade? I mean, it's weird being one of the guys. So I still feel cagey about like talking about why I think I'm going to win it, even though it feels totally even. And it just felt like a good thing to do. I think I sat with it for a day and I was like, this makes sense for me. And it helps out John, and I hope my guys aren't league winners for him, but other than that.
Yeah, I'll comment on this one real quick. As the outside third party, this is pod-worthy material.
Yeah.
So just to recap real quick, you traded Amon-Ra St. Brown and Aaron Jones to IB John Robinson.
Great team name. Great team name.
One of the two newcomers in the league. And they've both been involved in trades so far. Love to see that. And then he sent Deontay Johnson to you. Deontay's on the IR. AJ Brown, Jahmyr Gibbs, the other two pieces in that. Face value feels pretty fair. The most interesting thing being that, yeah, AJ Brown, Amon-Ra, you know, late round one, early round two picks.
Yeah.
Really crazy to see them traded in the first 2 weeks. And then Jahmyr Gibbs, Aaron Jones, you know, these are like round three, four, five guys. So definitely a big one. Feels pretty fair. I could see it breaking either way. To me, the tilt I would give you is that like both of the guys you traded are banged up a little bit. And yeah. Gibbs the bet on him is like he explodes towards the end of the year.
Right. And he's like a DeAndre Swift type. He's catching a lot of balls. Well, so is Aaron Jones technically, but I think my hope is that the Lions, I mean, Packers have looked all right. I think I'm hoping that the Lions are really competitive at that point too. Which I guess you could say about Amon-Ra St. Brown, but like, yeah, he's catching some hits and AJ Brown is just bigger bodied.
So yeah, I mean, like there's not anything to dislike about Aaron Jones and Amon-Ra. Like I would take both of those players on my team. But if AJ Brown and Jahmyr Gibbs hit their ceiling outcomes, man, that's fun.
Right, exactly. I think for me, AJ Brown is someone who I think has to regress towards the mean, which is a very high ceiling. And then Jahmyr Gibbs is like my gamble, but if he hits, it's going to be massive. And I think John got two really constant point getters. So that's kind of the difference. And I think I
feel... But they're banged up.
And I feel good enough about my depth that I can take more of the gamble on these guys who haven't shown as much and might not show as much week to week. But if they do, it's awesome. Whereas John gets a little bit more diversity in his wide receiving core and more stability. Like you can just, and that's what I like about Aaron Jones and Amon-Ra St. Brown. You could just bank on them getting double digit points every week.
Every week.
The two guys I got have not shown that yet. And there's no guarantee in Jahmyr, but I'm just trusting that it could also be that they also are putting up 25 points each for me each week. So that's why we play the game. I could totally regret it because Yahoo says I'm going to, apparently. I don't know. John was also party to the other trade in the league, which was actually supposed to be with Travis.
Or was it?
Rashad Penny for Justin Tucker. And John sent Rashad Penny, which at the time seemed crazy, for a kicker that, you know, technically the top ranked kicker, because Jesse had drafted the two top ranked kickers in the draft.
Which, to draw parallelogram to your early fantasy football days, you also drafted two kickers.
Yes.
In your first ever draft, right?
So this is why, yeah, exactly. I didn't know what I was doing. I hadn't paid attention to the NFL at all. It was a snake draft at IJM when I worked there. Like, and I instantly got hooked. I mean, I finished that season like 3-10 or whatever. Won the next year, but I had fun doing like emails, stuff like I still do now. Yeah, so if we want to draw a square or a rhombus, you know, it tracks, but I think it led to this idea that like, oh, does Jesse know what he's doing? Did we let in like, you know, a noob, you know, and he's going to just get blown away. And obviously we've already established that that's not the case. So don't hear me saying that.
Unless that's the slander we need to get him on the pod.
But the real slander is that Travis posted a screenshot shortly after.
He shared the DMs.
And at the moment, it does seem funny enough that John won this trade, which no one would have said because kickers don't really get traded at all. Not even like top rank. I mean, I could see how if like you had a good one and, you know, our league watches the stuff. But right now, Gainwell got hurt and Swift got put in for 175 yards. And Rashad Penny, I'm looking at it, is currently projected to score 2.14 points in this Monday's game against Tampa Bay. So the funny thing was, Travis, I interrupted my own story. I was like, wait, he was working out a trade with Jesse that I don't think had to do with a kicker at all, for starters. But Jesse clearly had maybe at least two offers on his thing. Texted Travis like, okay, I accepted it. And then it wasn't it. So maybe it must have involved one. Maybe it had to involve Justin Tucker because they never consummated a trade, actually, after that. What are we talking about?
Talking about trades. Yeah, I don't know. We didn't ever see the parties involved in Travis's proposed trade, correct?
Correct. And since nothing got consummated, maybe I have to take that back. Maybe Travis was trying to trade for Justin Tucker because, you know, Jesse had two kickers. Though Travis has Dicker the kicker, and the Chargers put up a lot of points. I don't know. We need some people to speak up on it. I don't know that this was officially established, but in this whole kerfuffle, Matt stepped in, clearly piqued a little bit that he was not the first McNichol to execute a trade.
Mm-hmm.
And said, am I allowed to trade with a blood relative? And I had the idea in light of what had happened, like, well, show us the screenshots of the discussion. Especially since we have automatic trades now without, like, you know, the voting and controversies of the past. We were all younger players then. I think it would be, I think that would be fun. Give the people what they want.
Give them what they want. We're not playing Pokemon here. We're playing fantasy football.
Yeah.
Pokey, we want to see trades.
Go to the group me. Vote in the polls. That was a Hillary Clinton reference. We do need to give the people what they want. The proletariat must be mollified with that which leads to full human flourishing. On that note, at some point here, even though we are in Mountain and Pacific time, I got to wake up early for my new job, which is, based East Coast for an early meeting. And I kind of set myself up for this. But speaking of the proletariat, I got to write a little blurb nerding out about my love for the X-Files the other day in an article about the Hollywood strikes, SAG-AFTRA, WGA. You know, people think about the big stars, but how it's a lot of normal people just trying to make a living. And that was fun. Though, unfortunately, due to work count, I had to cut out almost all of the X-Files stuff.
That gets me. I wrote a digital marketing article a few years back and had a lot of references to the Eagles Super Bowl game and some of the trick plays they ran. And
oh yeah,
it all ended up on the cutting room floor.
You know, what's nice about that, speaking though of writing, like sort of like warming up for the podcast, getting going, is what really brought the article out of me was just like, write what you feel, write what you want. So I had like the word limit was 600 and I ended up putting 1100 words out there. But when it came time to edit it, which I knew I had to do, the framing was still there. And so I got to keep the basics. It wasn't like I'd shot my foot in. And so I think it's fun to do that. For sure. Especially if you need to write a 10-page proposal to amend league policies. We joke about this, but I cannot wait for the day when someone puts together 10. We also joke about this. That has to be single page. 11 or 12 point font, Garibmon, Times New Roman.
I think Zach's a little more lenient with size and font, spacing, those types of things. I think he's more rigid on 10 pages, but how you get those 10 pages, he's open to interpretation.
Well, before we go, one silly wager and one serious wager to ask you about, unless there's an agenda item I missed. Who would you wager? I think I know my answer. Actually, it's pretty clear. Is going to be the first league member to submit a 10-page proposal and bonus points for about what?
I'm going Sean.
That's my answer.
About what? I mean, it's got to be keeper league.
That's what I think. So unless someone's like going to kind of put out a silly 10-page proposal, like, you know, Steven was joking, like, oh, I'll do one about the 100-point, you know, rename thing. I would love to see it, probably because I think Sean would be really creative and funny enough to do it. But I'd love to see it just to learn more about it. Like, he gave us that brief rundown But also because it seems like something we should seriously think about and vote on to learn about. I think in my mind before, and here's where in a weird way I'm going to feel like a noob, even though I've been playing for over a decade, like I was getting Dynasty and Keeper confused.
Yeah, slightly different.
Yeah. And so when he was explaining, I was like, oh, that sounds fascinating. And if we're going to keep this going year after year, why not? You know, as I think as I'm like, well, I have AJ Brown. I guess I don't understand how it works if you do trade or drop someone, you know, maybe if they got hurt or whatever. How does that and you've tagged them as a keeper and then it's like, oh, they had a season ending injury. I don't know, but we can have them on the pod for that.
Yeah, we could go deep on that. And that was a draft day tidbit that we didn't get into. But Sean did make the pitch to make this a keeper league in the draft room.
Yeah.
And we were like, we can't do this on the day of the draft.
Yeah. I think too, just
but it was close.
Including myself, didn't know how it worked. But I think there'd be real cause to see a 10-page proposal. I think it'd be really funny, like lots of footnotes or whatever. The other wager, maybe this is a good prompt to have weekly podcast episodes, but I like the idea of like showcasing a matchup of the week in the league that pulls in analysis, pulls in the drama, pulls in the stakes, you know, sometimes
rivalries.
Rivalries. I want to submit that the upcoming matchup of the week for week 3 is between Eric's neat team and Zach's black hole son. Number 1 versus number 9, and here's why. Zach, as we've established, has been utterly dominant. Eric has put up a chunk of points but had a ton scored against him. And so this is, you know, the season's still young, but Eric has a strong team and he's projected in at least the Yahoo power rankings. I mean, he's got Mahomes, he's got McCaffrey. Michael Pittman has shown up, even if Devontae Adams was kind of a known suspect. What do we want to say about this? I think this is going to be, Yahoo's saying Eric's only going to have 3 losses all season. Same for you. Is this going to be his final third loss, or is he going to take Zach down in like a huge blowout or not blowout where they both score a ton of points? I also just think there's a lot of stakes because after a while, no matter how strong your team is, you can't just keep posting losses.
Yeah. The panic button does start to set in.
Yeah. Eric Zach is my matchup of the week.
That's a good one. I'll also throw out myself and Big D.
Ooh.
Or if he takes Zach's suggested name change, Little D.
Little D.
Totally his call. But two big Cowboys fans here.
Yeah.
And Brian outbid me for the Cowboys defense.
Ooh.
I think I bid him up to like $8 or $9. And he just had more than me in the reserves, so I knew I wasn't going to get him.
Right.
But thought they had a chance to be a legitimately historic defense this year. And man, they've shown that the first 2 weeks.
Holy cow, that's right. And the depth.
And then he's also got Dak and CeeDee.
Oh,
so,
man.
So, like, I'm not rooting for Brian this week, but he's got so many of my boys.
That's tough. And his boys.
And who do they play?
They're coming to town. They're coming to Arizona. And not only that, as your nemesis and someone who actually hates the Cowboys as a lifelong Giants fan, I'm starting Tony Pollard and Jake Ferguson.
Ferg.
We should. That puts – I get that. That puts – because if he wins, you're both 2-1. He's got more points now. That's hard, man. I think you just want to hope that your boys do well. I mean, do you think they're going to have trouble against the Cardinals?
I do not.
Yeah, so maybe the hope is that I do really well with Tony Pollard just, like, pounding it out. What I don't want is obviously a blowout where they are sitting everybody at like halfway through the third quarter. I don't know. Hey, you should come to the game.
I mean, yeah, man, I'll roll through.
It's a short flight from Denver.
See you this weekend.
I'll show you a good time. Yeah. It's here in Phoenix. There's gotta be tickets. Tucson. So I'm only an hour and a half south of Phoenix. It's a straight shot, though. It's a nice, pretty drive. Is the only World UNESCO Heritage culinary site in the U.S. It's this designation, this newer designation. It has to do with like the unique terroir of like the food palace. So in the Sonoran Desert, you know, we have what's called the Mexican Mile. I mean, I think I've said this on a previous pod, like Mexico is just an hour south. We can go there too if you want. don't they play NFL games there? What would be weird is, as a Giants fan with Cowboys who I like on my roster, being in the stands with you cheering for Tony Pollard and Jake Ferguson in enemy territory, though. Like, all right, well, if you come, we should record a pod here.
We'll see what happens.
All right.
And yeah, I've got your boy Darren Waller on my team. So there's just a lot of conflicted feelings at the moment.
That's right. If you're not conflicted about hopping over a state, I've got a king-size bed with your name on it.
Well, I've got to see everybody in the league.
Yeah, that's right. That's the hot take this year. So I'm challenging you.
Yeah, could get up to number 7 this week.
What better weekend than the Cowboys coming to destroy the Cardinals?
Final score.
It's going to be so bad. I didn't think about that. So, like, your hope against Brian is that they're going to be sitting their starters. I mean, the defense is so good. Like, Dobbs is going to get rocked. Like, it actually might be the case that the defense, like, against the Giants just scores all the points.
Yeah, the hope here is Tony Pollard gets 2 touchdowns. Defense crushes them. You know, we get a couple field goals in the first half. We bring in the subs early. Deuce Vaughn gets a couple of rushing TDs.
No.
And it's like week one. You know, Dak sits out the entire fourth quarter. CD sits out the entire fourth quarter. No. And then, you know, they get a couple of garbage time touchdowns to make it like 40-14. And the Dallas defense doesn't kill me. But I think my hope is that like the Dallas defense is the highest scorer for him in this game, and Dak and CD are pedestrian.
That's right. I mean, he's got Madison, who has shown nothing so far, and David Montgomery is hurt.
Yeah, a lot of red Qs on his team.
Red Qs. That's a good team name. Well, yeah, man. I say let's do it. I've only been to one NFL game before in my life, so.
Same. 1996 or 97.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Bobby Hoyne and the Eagles took on Kent Graham and the New York Football Giants.
That's right. It's been a long 2000, very end of 2006. The Giants were eliminated from the playoffs. It was the year before they won it magically. I saw them play the Commanders before they were the Commanders in DC, and Tiki Barber's last game, he scored a couple touchdowns. Wahoo wah. And then they won the Super Bowl without him, so maybe he was the weak link.
Tiki Barber, weak link. All right. Well, excited to see how Zach cuts this down to 45 minutes.
Yep.
Anything else we want him to throw in here? What's a cool edit we could have him do?
Oh, yeah. There was that TikTok or whatever it was. We were going to throw it in.
Zach, throw that TikTok in here.
Yeah.
Was it the soap opera?
Yes.
Yeah, the soap opera scene about fantasy football.
But nothing beats our theme song. Zach, edit all of this. All 75 minutes just gone. Just do the theme song.
And the TikTok video.
All right. Well, man, I'll see you in Arizona this weekend, I guess.
see you this weekend. And anybody who's not coming,
I triple dog dare you. Everyone's welcome. I'm sure there are tickets available.
Yeah, I expect to see Travis. That's a short flight for Travis. That's and right. I think Ben's is in Montana right now, or Canada.
Right on.
It's like a 15-hour drive to Denver.
Yeah.
So you get here, I'll get you there, and we'll get to Arizona.
That would be huge. Even though I didn't even watch my Giants' amazing comeback last week here, the real gift would be going to a game with a league member, second only to the combine. That
I think it's going to happen.
Yeah. I'm not
one of these years.
I'm not going to Orange Theory just for shits and gigs. All right, y'all. Next episode. Well, if it's not from Arizona, I mean, we're talking ourselves into this now. It's going to be like we're just daring ourselves. But the next not live from a football stadium episode, assuming it happens, is got to be with one of y'all. So you've been put on notice. We'll happily give Ben's back his trophy from 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm. We could recognize champ.
He forfeited.
We've got some new league members that are contractually obligated to come on twice.
That's right.
We could do the commissioner kickoff episode.
Yeah.
Episode 2 style.
I think we can call that the commissioner onside kick episode now since it's not for the season.
Wow, Ben's look at that.
Come talk about soft tissues.
We could have a McNichol Bros.
What's that?
We could have a McNichol Bros episode.
Yes. Steven has committed to coming on, so that we're set there. Brian, we need for hot takes to see if he truly is a prophet.
Nostradamus.
Nostra Big Domus. And I think Sean has also said he's definitely coming on, which leaves
Eric. Just Eric? Is he the only person we haven't?
I think we covered everybody.
We covered everybody else.
All right.
All right. Well,
we covered everything.
We've said all we could for this week. We wrapped 4 episodes into one. We gave Zach hours to edit. It's been a gift to be with you all again. Yeah. Looking forward to a fun fantasy season. Looking forward to a great Cowboys victory in Arizona this weekend. Looking forward to everybody else falling in a well.
Go fall in a well.